Galatians chapter number 5, as we look at the fruit of goodness. Now, in every relationship that we have in life, there are toxins or potential elements that have a capacity to be destructive. There are ingredients that are good, and there certainly are ingredients that are bad. And God, through His Spirit in our life, has provided for you and I a vital ingredient for every relationship that you and I have, and it is the attribute of goodness. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 8 in your notes. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So we used to live a certain way, then we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now we're to live a different way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's God's desire for us, that we would live a new life in Christ. And part of that, or an evidence of that, or a result of that, is that we're going to have goodness in us by the Spirit of God that is being produced in our life. Now, the spiritual fruit of goodness is defined as uprightness of heart and life, virtue equipped and ready at every point. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A spirit-filled Christian has the desire to do good to other people. They want to do that, and they want that to be manifested from their life. Now, the world has a lot of interpretations of good. One of the world's interpretations of good would be the idea of bringing themselves pleasure. If they're doing well, they're doing good. If they're happy, they're doing good. If they have more, they're doing good. For some, it would involve knowledge. If they're learning more, then they're doing good. For some, it would be materialism. If they have more, then they're doing good. If they got everything they wanted on Black Friday, they're really doing well this morning because they are fulfilling their list. And yet others, it would be equated with not doing something, like I did not overeat at Thanksgiving, therefore I am doing good, or whatever. And the world has its ideas or its definitions or its interpretations of goodness. But the Bible says that God is the example of it. Notice it in Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. God is not only the example of goodness, but through Him we see goodness in action. God works for our good. The Bible says in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. And when difficulties come into our life, if we're a believer, we can rest in the fact God can do good through this. Joseph, a name comes to my mind in the Word of God, that he was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned and all of these things. And yet God used Joseph to save lives. And at the end of his life, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he says, they meant it unto me for evil, his brothers and Potiphar and some of these others and so on. But God meant it unto me for good. What people were doing to me that wasn't right or wasn't just or wasn't fair, God used to bring goodness about in my life and the lives of those around me. So God's working for our good. We know that God gives good gifts. We think about Christmas and maybe the list you're working on, the gifts you want to get, and the people in whom you want to honor. God's way ahead of us in all of that, and He gives great gifts. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. And Jesus Christ displays the goodness of God in His life as the greatest gift ever given to you and I. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And God indeed was with His Son Jesus Christ, and He was doing good. And if you and I know the Lord, God is with us, and He wants you and I to be doing good as well. Now, God's goodness is not an attainable attribute for you and I on our own. This is not something you and I can accomplish. This is not something you and I can produce our best efforts. We'll never measure up to having this be a part of our life. But God is the source of this goodness. And God wants this goodness to flow through our lives from Him. And we're not going to attain perfect goodness aside from the Lord. But as we get close to the source, God, then He will manifest, He will evidence this goodness in our lives in a way that benefits others as well. So this morning, I want us to look at three ways for you and I to see goodness flowing from our lives and benefiting those around us. First of all, we must recognize our need for God's goodness. We've got to recognize our need for God's goodness. We basically have to come to the place that says, I know that I do not have this in me aside from God. Now, one of our most difficult things that we have to do is to recognize, listen, I have a need for goodness, and in my human nature, I'm not going to have it on my own. And sometimes our pride can prevent us from saying, I need God's help in this area. God wants me to be good. God wants me to do good for others. And in my own nature, in my flesh, I don't always want to do good. And I don't always want to do good for others. And so I need God if I'm going to be this person and if my life is going to produce this character trait that He's asking of me. And we never want to be too prideful to ask God for help. We never want to be too prideful to realize we lack something. It's okay to come before the throne and say, boy, I'm not doing as well as I could in this area. And I need the Lord and I need His help. And we need to come to a place where we're okay with admitting that, because that's where we are. Whether you know that or not, that's where we are this morning, that we need God's goodness. We are insufficient to produce it of ourselves. And there's no reason to be embarrassed of it. We just need to ask God for help. Now, why do we have this need? Well, first of all, letter A, because our original nature is not good. Our original nature is not good. Have you ever wondered how a worm gets inside of an apple? You may think that it eats its way from the outside in, but that's wrong. Scientists have actually discovered the exact opposite is true. In fact, the worm eats its way from the inside out. How? Well, an insect lays an egg inside of an apple blossom. And sometime later, the egg hatches in the heart of now an apple. And after the egg hatches, the small worm begins to eat its way from the inside out. It was already there in the formation of that apple. Now, sin is the same thing. You and I were born sinners. Sin is going to come out of our life because sin is in our life. It is our original nature. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us in here have a commonality this morning. We're sinners. And here's another commonality. We were all born that way. That's our original nature. That's what the Bible teaches you and I. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered the bloodstream of humanity. You and I were born a sinner. You say, Brother Rule, I don't know if I believe that. Go to the nursery this morning. You will see sin on display. The one toy they all want to play with. The one book they all want to read. And I mean, they'll gouge, they'll hit, they'll pull hair. They'll do whatever it takes to get what they want. Where did they learn that? It's built inside. It's the original nature. I have four children. I've never had to sit down with my children and say, all right, here we go. Tonight's lesson, we're going to learn how to steal or how to lie or how to be selfish or how to be mean. I've never done that. But all four of my children know how to do that very well. They take after their mother. No, they take after their father for sure. And our job as mom and dad is to train the other direction, to train that out of them and to train the things of the Lord. But why is that there? Because it's their original sin nature. They were born this way. And we have to recognize that. And then secondly, we have to recognize that we cannot produce true goodness. That doesn't matter how hard you and I try. We cannot produce true goodness in and of ourselves. The Bible says in Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Let's say that portion of that verse together. Ready, begin. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's what the Bible says. In me, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I don't bring goodness to the table. I did not accept Christ as my Savior, and God go, "Whoo, man, we got a good one here." That didn't happen. There's no good in me. It doesn't reside in my flesh. I'm not capable of producing this goodness on my own. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." My righteousness, the good that I think that I have done, the things that I'm proud of, the things that I want people to know about, when God looks at him, he says, "Your righteousness is as filthy rags." There's no good in you. Your good and your service and the things that you have accomplished on your own, they're not all that impressive to God. So I need God's help because I have a sin nature. I need God's help because I am unable. I am insufficient. It's not possible for me in and of myself without God's help to produce the kind of goodness that God is talking about. So I have to know that God is the source of this, and that I'm not capable of it on my own. So then what do I do? Secondly, receive Christ as your Savior. You say, now what does this have to do with producing goodness in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. You and I cannot produce this goodness on our own. We have to have God's help. And it begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, which is a decision I pray everyone in this room have made. And I pray, if you have not, that you will even today. Why? Because you must have Christ in you to bear this fruit of goodness. This whole series is called the fruit of the Spirit. And the idea is that the Spirit of God produces something in us and through us that without Him would be impossible. And when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwells our body. When you and I place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ becomes our Savior, He indwells in us. He lives in us. He takes up residence in our body, in our heart, in our life. And through that relationship, through that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and through what He can do through us, now goodness can be produced. But it begins with a decision. I've got to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, around 1830, a man named George Wilson killed a government employee who caught him in the act of robbery. So he was caught in the act of robbery, and he killed the man who caught him. Wilson was tried and was sentenced to be hanged. And Andrew Jackson, the residing president of the United States at that time, sent Wilson a pardon and was pardoning him of his crime and saving his life from the hanging that he was destined to. But Wilson did a very strange thing. He refused to accept the pardon from President Jackson. Everybody was at a loss at what to do. This had never happened before. And so Wilson's case went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And there, Chief Justice Marshall was presiding, and he gave his finding and his ruling. A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, then it is no pardon at all. George Wilson must be hanged. And his sentence was carried through, and he was killed because he refused the pardon that he had been granted. Now listen, if I got what I deserved, I would spend an eternity in hell away from God. But God in His love sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in His love gave His life not having to, but choosing to. Jesus Christ was perfect. He never one time sinned. But at the end of His life, He gave His life for you and for me. And if I will receive that gift, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that I can know I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. But if I reject that gift, God is clear, then I will pay the wages of my sin, which in Romans 6:23 teaches you and I, is death. The choice is mine. So I have to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior if I'm going to have an eternal home in heaven. And if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, now the Spirit of God will indwell me and will empower me to bear the fruit or the evidences of that relationship, including goodness. So what happens when we accept Christ our Savior? Letter A, you will be born of His Spirit. You and I don't have the capacity to bear this kind of fruit, but boy, when you get God indwelling us, everything changes. The Bible says in John 3, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." You and I cannot live a Christian life aside from God living in us. There's a lot of people, aside from God, trying to muster up a lot of good in their life, and God teaches you and I, from the Word of God, that's a futile pursuit. You're not going to produce what God intended to produce with only His help, without Him in your life. So we have to have Jesus Christ as our Savior, His Spirit indwelling you and I, so that we have His help. This is a spiritual birth. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a spiritual birth. Everyone in this room has a birth date, the day in which you were born. And everyone in this room should have a spiritual birth date, the date that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now with His help, we're becoming new, not like who you used to be, but more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what God is teaching and admonishing you and I to do. So it's a spiritual birth, but it's also an eternal birth. Notice that John chapter 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Once you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are for all saved. Our sins have been paid for in the past, in the present, and in the future. It's all guaranteed by God. We are in the palm of His hand. The Bible says here in John, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no man can change it because it is secured by God. Now, a recent poll indicated that 76% of Americans believe in heaven. 72% believe in hell. But the poll found that 50% of Americans believe they can go to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I want to tell you this morning, that's not possible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So you and I have got to accept Christ as our Savior because we need to be spiritually born again. And when we are born again, the Spirit of God indwells us and will help us, will empower us to bear these fruits. And then what happens, let it be, we will partake of His divine nature. When you and I recognize that we are not good, our own merit is not enough, we see that we need Christ and we accept Him as our Savior, then we're born of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells you and I, and now we become a partaker of His divine nature. Now His goodness, the kind of goodness we're reading about in the Bible, begins to be produced in and through our life. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1. "According as His divine nature," divine power rather, "hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He says, I want you to be partakers of the divine nature. I want your life to evidence something greater than you. I want the way you live to evidence the fact that there's something happening in you that's not normal. It's not natural. When you get around somebody who's intoxicated, they're not normal. Why? Because their life is affected by the booze. Or if you get around someone who's under the influence, maybe they're stoned, they're not normal. They don't think normal. They don't talk normal. They can't reason. They don't behave normally. Why? Because they're under the influence of the drugs. And just like these vices and substances would have great influence over somebody in the way they live, God is saying, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and my Spirit is in you, the Spirit of God indwells your body, you should behave differently. The way you respond should be different. The way you live, your testimony at Thanksgiving should have pointed to the fact that you are a child of God. Why? Because God is indwelling in you and God is producing in you this attribute of goodness. We are to be partakers of His divine nature. So we can't do this on our own. We have to have Christ. Why? Thirdly, so that we can reveal the goodness of God to a lost world. And once you and I realize that we cannot produce this goodness And after we've accepted Jesus Christ and we begin to partake of this divine nature, now we are in a position to reveal God's goodness to a lost and dying world. I asked my wife to bring me this candle this morning, and I wanted to illustrate something for you here with this candle, if I may. Now, if I take this candle this morning and I take my hand and I place it over this candle, that's only going to last so long. Eventually, I'm going to have to move my hand or burn my hand. It's just not going to work to leave it there forever. Eventually, that flame and the heat of it and the discomfort it's bringing at this very moment to the palm of my hand is going to cause me to move that hand, because I value the layer of skin that I have right there and I'd like to keep it where it is. Now, in the same way that if I take my hand and put it over here, it's not going to last forever. It's going to cause me to move. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and God lives in us, it shouldn't take very long to where there's nothing we can do but for that to come out. It shouldn't take very long, but when we begin to live and talk and behave and act and interact with people, that it is obvious they're a Christian. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The life they're living is different. The way they're living it is different. The way they're interacting with people is different. It's obvious that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Something is coming out of them that is not natural. Something is coming out of them that I haven't seen before. Something is coming out of them that I don't think is them and them alone. There's got to be something else to it. What makes them tick? What makes them do that? What makes them so happy all the time? What makes them be able to face adversity and come out of it topside? What makes them have a good day every day? What makes that person different? That's the fruit of goodness. And it's produced by God. Just as this candle would lead you and I to a certain action, so it should be when the Spirit of God is in us, that from the inside out, something is changing. Notice in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Listen, we were darkness when we knew not the Lord, but now we know Jesus Christ, and we are to be children of light, and we are to make that known in the way we live our lives. How is that to be done? First of all, letter A, goodness is found in the Word of God. Now let's make this super practical this morning. How can you and I reveal God's goodness to others through our lives? We've got to recognize, first of all, that the goodness comes from the Bible. This is not about what you and I feel or think. Well, I kind of feel like doing this. Well, I kind of think that might be good. No, no, no. We want God to live through us. We want the goodness of God to be evidenced in our lives. And that's going to come from the Word of God. So how can I reveal Christ to a lost and dying world through the goodness that God will produce in and through me? It is through the Bible. It is through spending time in the Bible and sharing the Word of God with others in my life. You and I, at times, will need to make decisions, and the way we feel will lead us to the wrong decision. And the way that we humanly think will lead us to the wrong decision. But when we know the Word of God and we know what God says to do, we'll make it right every time. And so if you and I are going to consistently reveal the goodness of God to a lost and dying world, we must have a relationship with the Word of God. It must be our guide for all that we do. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, "He has shown me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." What is God doing through His Word? He's showing us what is good. God has called you and I to produce goodness, and God instructs you and I to get it from His Word. Notice in Psalms 119:9, "Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Boy, I've got to be in God's Word if my life is going to please Him. Psalms 119:50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Psalms 119:133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalms 119:172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." His design class, my encouragement to you as we look to 2016, one great goal would be more time in God's Word. More time in the Word of God. Boy, I want to be in the Word of God in the morning. I want to be in the Word of God in the evening. I want to hide the Word of God in my heart. I want to do everything that I can to live according to the Word of God and then to make the Word of God known to people that God crosses my path with. Who, between now and next Sunday, will you and I interact with that we can share the Word of God? Will we have something to share? Not just from this lesson, but how about our time in the Word of God? How about what God is teaching us? How about what's happening in discipleship? Boy, we want to make sure we have a relationship with the Word of God. And then letter B, the goodness is cultivated through godly fellowship. Through godly fellowship. How are we going to reveal this goodness of God? Well, we've got to be in the Word of God. And then we're going to sustain it. We're going to cultivate it through the right kind of fellowship. Now, notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Class, listen. The right kind of fellowship produces the right kind of behavior. Godly friendships will encourage you to have goodness in every situation of your life. How is your life going? Show me who it is you're spending time with. I may be here in His design on Sunday, and thank God we're here. But if my Monday through Saturday is spent with people who blaspheme God and who don't live according to God's Word and who don't even care about God, it's going to have some influence on me. And if I'm going to have a light that shines, and if I'm going to have goodness produced in my life, and if I'm going to please God, then I've got to spend time in His Word, and I've got to be around some good, godly friends. I've got to get to know some people. I've got to enjoy some fellowship. I want to be around some people that challenge me to do more for the Lord. I want to be around people that are encouraging me to do what is right. And you need to think about your life and you need to think about your fellowship and your associations and your friendships. Are you spending time with people that are encouraging you to be closer to the Lord? Are you around people that are sharpening you to be a better Christian? Are you around people that when you leave their presence, you're inspired to do more for God? Now, there may be some people you're sharpening. Thank God for that. But there's definitely got to be some people in your life that are sharpening you. Might need to be some adjustments of fellowship. Might need some new friends. By the way, what a great reason to come to the Christmas party in 2 weeks. Man, get around a table, enjoy a delicious meal, and get to know some new people. That's one of the reasons we have class activities, so that we can get to know some people and develop some friendships and some relationships to help us live as we should. But then let us see, as we close, goodness is revealed through a walk with Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listen, God saved you and I by His grace. God saved you and I by the gift of His Son, but we are His workmanship. We are the product of God's work, and He wants you and I to produce good works. One of them we find in Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God says, listen, I want you to know me as Savior, and I want to produce good works in you. And as I produce good works in you, that you can be partakers of my divine nature, stuff's going to be happening in your life that would not be possible aside from God. Then your light can shine, and people can see your good works, and they're going to know that those aren't your good works because they knew you too well, and they're going to know, what happened to him? What happened to her? God. Amen. God. This good stuff you're seeing, it's not me. It's God. And God said, that's exactly what I had in mind. That you be a partaker of the divine nature and good be in you, the kind of good that comes from God. And people see that goodness and say, wow, where did that come from? And from that light, they see your good works. And it goes all the way back to the source, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll come to know the Lord as we witness and as we invite and as we tell. And we can see that life change in them as well. God has given you and I the opportunity to do something of eternal significance. And may you and I be determined in our lives. Lord, I want to bear the fruit of goodness. I want my life to bring about some good. Not the kind of good that I can do, but the kind of good that you can do through me. And may that happen in my life this week. That it might point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be taking a ticket to the musical and inviting a coworker or a neighbor. It might be encouraging someone in this room, hey, can we get together this week? I'd like just some fellowship with some good godly people. It might be getting a ticket to a musical, to a Christmas party, something of this nature. Lord, help me to recognize this is not goodness I can produce on my own, so I've got to know you as my Savior. Then help me to be a partaker of the divine nature in me. so that goodness will come forth, that people will not see me, but ultimately they will see you in me. That's the whole idea. Let's bear the fruit of the Spirit. And this week specifically, the fruit of goodness. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time today around your word. Lord, what a great day in class. I'm excited to be here. I'm humbled. I love our class. I'm grateful for a good crowd today. And I do pray that everyone in here enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I pray that we will be passionate to finish this year strong. I pray, Lord, that we will work to bear the fruits, the evidences of a relationship with you. And may this week we strive to bear the fruit of goodness. May people see things in our life that they're not ours, but they're yours. And we have partaken of them from you. Lord, help us to evidence that this week. Lord, I pray for our class. I pray for the needs. They are many. And I pray that you'd find us coming to you and walking with you. And would you work on our behalf and in our midst? Bless our class. Use us this week for an eternal purpose and impact. And then bring us back safely next Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.